ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today is Monday. We are serving Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 6. Bhajanti worship jay dehu jatha, in which way Devan, the demigods, Deva, the demigods, api also tatha eva, just in that way, tan them, chaya, in shadow, eva, as if karma of material work and its reaction, sachiva, the attendants, sadhava, saintly persons, dinavatsala, merciful to the fallen, bhajanti je jatha devan, deva api tathaivatan, chayeva karma sachiva, sadhava dinavatsala, bhajanti je jatha devan, devāpi tathaivatān, chāyeva karma sachivā, sādhava dinavatsala, bhajanti je jathā devān, devāpi tathaivatān, chāyeva karma sachivā, sadhava dinavatsala. Please chant. Bhajanti je jatha devan, deva api tathaivatan, sacheva karma sachiva, sadhava dinavatsala. Bhajanti je jatha devan, deva api tathaivatan, chayeva karma sachiva, sadhava dinavatsala. Bhajanti je jatha devan, deva api tathaivatan, chayeva karma sachiva, sadhava dinavatsala. Bhajanti je jatha devan, deva api tathaivatan, chayeva karma sachiva, dinavatsala. Vaishnavis. Bhajanti je jatha devan, deva api tathaivatan, chayeva karma sachiva, sadhava dinavatsala. Translation and purport by the sweet followers of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Those who worship the demigod receive reciprocation from the demigod in a way just corresponding to the offering. The demigod are attendants of karma, like a person's shadow. But sadhus are actually merciful to the fallen. Purport. The word chayeva karma sachiva are significant here. Chaya means shadow. The shadow of the body precisely follows the movement of the body. The shadow has no power to move in a way different from the movement of the body. Similarly, as stated here, bhajanti je jatha deva api tathaivatan, the result, the demigod award to living being corresponds exactly to the living being's action. The demigods are empowered by the Lord to follow precisely the particular karma of a living entity in awarding him happiness and distress. Just as shadow cannot move independently, the demigod cannot punish or reward a living being independently, although the demigods are millions of times more powerful than the human beings on earth. They are ultimately tiny servants of God, whom the Lord allows to play as the controller of the universe. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prithu Maharaj, an empowered incarnation of the Lord, states that even the demigods are subject to punishment by the Lord if they deviate from His laws. On the other hand, devotees of the Lord, such as Narad Muni, by their potent preaching, can interfere in the karma of the living being by persuading him to give up his fruitive activity and mental speculation and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In material existence, one works hard under the bondage of ignorance. But if one becomes enlightened by association with a pure devotee of the Lord, one can understand one's actual position as an eternal servant of God. By rendering such service, one dissolves his attachment to the material world and reaction of his previous activities. As a surrendered soul, he is endowed with unlimited spiritual freedom in the service of the Lord. In this regard, the Brahma Sanhita 554 states together, Jastu Indra Gopatha Vendra Mahasakarma Bandana Rupa Falabhajana Natanoti Karmani Nirdhati Kintu Cha Bhakti Bhajam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns to the root of all the fruitive activities of those imbued with devotion. For those who walk the path of work, no less for Indra, king of the demigod, than for the tiny insect Indra Gopa, he impartially ordains the due enjoyment of the fruits of activities in accordance with the chain of works previously performed. Even the demigods are bound to the laws of karma, whereas pure devotee of the Lord, having completely given up the desire for material enjoyment, successfully burns to ashes all traces of karma. In this regard, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented that unless one is engaged as a surrendered soul in the devotional service of the Lord, he cannot actually be considered nishkam or free from all personal desire. Sometimes a materialistic person will engage in charity or altruistic activities, in this way consider himself a selfless worker. Similarly, those who engage in mental speculation with the ultimate goal of merging into impersonal Brahman, aspect of the Lord, also advertise themselves as being selfless or desireless. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, however, such karmis and gyanis, while busy in their so-called selflessness, are in fact servants of lusty desires. In other words, they have not perfected perfectly understood their position as eternal servants of God. The altruistic karmi falsely considered himself the best friend of humanity. Although he is unable to give actual benefit to others because he is ignorant of the eternal life of bliss and knowledge, beyond the temporary hallucination of material existence. Similarly, although Gyani proudly declares himself God and invites others to become God also, he neglects to explain how the so-called gods have come to be bound by the laws of material nature. Actually, the attempt to become God is based not on love of God, but on the desire to take the same status as God. In other words, the desire to be equal in all respect to the Supreme is simply another materialistic desire. Therefore, the karmis and jnanis, because of their dissatisfaction in artificially trying to fulfill their own desire, can show no actual mercy to the fallen soul. In this regard, Srimadhacharya has quoted the Uddhama Sanghita. Sukham icchanti bhutanam prayo dukhasna ninam tathapi tebho prabhara deva eva hare priyam. Rishis want happiness for all beings and are almost always incapable of tolerating the unhappiness of man. Nevertheless, the demigods are superior because they are very dear to Lord Hari. But although Srila Madhvacharya has placed the demigod in a higher position than the merciful rishis, Srila Jiva Goswami has stated, sadhava tu na karma anugata. The sadhus are actually better than the demigod because sadhus are merciful regardless of the pious or impious act of the conditioned soul. This apparent disagreement between Madhvacharya and Jiva Goswami is resolved by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who points out that in the statement by Srila Madhvacharya, the word rishi or sage indicate the so-called sadhus or saintly persons among the karmis and jnanis. Ordinary footive workers and speculative philosophers certainly consider themselves to be at the summit of pious morality and altruism. However, since they are ignorant of the supreme position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they cannot be considered equal to the demigod, who are all devotees of the Lord and aware that all living beings are eternal servants of the Lord. Even such demigod, however, cannot be compared to the pure devotees such as Narada. Such pure devotees are empowered to award the highest perfection of life to both pious and impious living beings who have only to follow the order of such pure devotees. Such a beautiful purport. Everything is already said. Nothing to talk about it, just to think about it. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadam Hayam Dadati Shapadam Bande Aham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadhaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Divam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakantam Vancha Kalpa Taruvesya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebho Vaishnavebho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This is a beautiful purport. Anyone has any question? Already explained very thoroughly. Yes, there's two questions. You have the microphone, sir? Thank you. Because I have a bad habit that I never finish it on time, and it's 9 o'clock, I never give opportunity.
There was this question 2 days ago, I think, about devatas and karma. Whether the devatas are bound by the laws of karma. This purport says they are. So I just wanted to know how to understand that. Because from what I've understood, actions have reactions on earth, but not in the heavens. The heavens, they're just using up their pious credits.
We'll finish with that and then we'll go to more. Yeah. So what we understand by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that this verse, Jastindra Gopa Mathavendra Mahosa Karma Bandana Rupa Falabhajana Matanot Karmani Nidhati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. Few things to look at into it. Is Krishna impartial or partial? Answer is given in this verse, both. Thank you. He is impartial because Krishna is acting like a judge. Judge cannot be partial to plaintiff or defendant. Judge has to be neutral. When the soul is not inclined to serve the Vaishnava and surrender to Krishna, or we call devotional service or Krishna consciousness, then he is seeing Krishna as an impartial, and Krishna remain impartial. It's like a teller in the bank. When I go to the Bank of America a few times, some teller recognize me and say, "Ah, Mr. Ghosh, how are you?" But if I ask her to give me $1,000 more, she won't give if I don't have in my account. Means demigods are like the bank teller. So they cannot give more than what I am destined or I have deposited from my previous karma. So I am bound or limited, but, or in other words, suffering and enjoyment is all depends on my own pious, impious credit. But the moment I come to Krishna consciousness, first thing I take a shelter of a pure devotee. The moment the shelter comes or Srila Prabhupada comes in my life, then automatically the karma takes a shift from my own credit or debit. It goes to the somebody else's credit and debit. Krishna is going to use that, whatever karma I had from previous life. So in demigod's life, generally we think in a very simple way that soul, Srila Prabhupada writes, the false ego are product of material nature, but it is not, soul does not get the false ego in the material world. He gets the false ego before he enters into the material world. The border between the spiritual and material is where the false ego takes birth. And Srila Prabhupada says the false ego takes over, then the soul comes. So in entire material universe, everybody is under karma in that sense, because karma comes only when false ego appears. So we also see, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that all the demigods are adhikrita das. Adhikrita das means they are pre-qualified to assist Lord Krishna's government, or Manu, the governor, his government. There are six things to be seen in government of Bhagavan. One is seven rishis. One is who is the ruler of the government, Indra, king. The Manu, who, like in India, you have a prime minister and you have a governor. It's confusing, but it's not confusing because they look at each other like this. In America, we have a president, but you still have a Congress. So it's like interrelated, but they don't see the Congress, they see the president ordering. So something like this. Then you have seven, you have the demigods appointed by the Lord. So I give you one example and then this philosophy will make sense. The Lord, Vamandev, appointed Indra to rule the kingdom of heaven. And he told there is a 33 primary demigods. Dadosh Aditya, 12 sons of Aditi, 11 expansion of Lord Shiva. So that's how many? 11 and 12. And 8 Vasus and Ashwini Kumar 2s. How many you got? 33. So these 33 are the main demigods. And each of them has a million. So there is a 33 million, 330 million actually. Tetris Koti. Koti means 10 million. So then, after he appointed them, he says they all have a right to take this amount, this demigod, according to their status, they have a quota to get a somo juice. Now, Indra is being glorified with his position, big crown, the Urvashi comes, dance, and Gandharva sings, and this is legitimate. There's nothing wrong to glorify Indra's position, because Lord has given. So he gives all this. But sa-sa-bhuka-karma-phala-puman, this verse gives the intention of Indra. Even though he is appointed by the Lord, he is serving the Lord according to Lord's desire, but still he has an independent desire how to execute that law. So he did cheat. What did he do? He talked to his intimate Nandi, Sunandi, these different guards. Said, take one drop from each person's somo juice and save it for me. You know that book called Krishna Consciousness, small book, Prabhupada's made small book? It has this story also. Mahishasu's story. So Indra is very happy doing his service for the Lord. He's giving, distributing nectar to everyone. But when he's giving, he's keeping little drop from each one. So that's 330 million drops. You know how much it is? That's a lot of stealing, which God did not tell him to do. So after everything is over, when he's ready to enjoy, all of a sudden he's very happy. He's more happy than other days. Because today he's going to enjoy more than others. But then he saw two horns just popped from the two sides of his Singhasan. And he's scared. What's going on? And then all of a sudden his Singhasan started rolling. He's instead of enjoying, he's afraid now. Now Indra not supposed to be under the spell of fear or anxiety or all other. While he's doing a service, he should be free. He should be happy. He should be more happy than human being. Because he's doing such a great service. But his personal intention, Krishna says, he is responsible for his personal intention. So his personal intention to cheat was not dictated by anybody to him. It was his own. So all of a sudden, this horn coming out so big, then he found his singhasan. So immediately he closed the door and told all the demigods, stay outside. And then because he didn't want anybody to know that he's a cheater. And then they went downstairs, they found this big buffalo, a big demon. So he suffered a tremendous suffering. I don't want to narrate the whole story. It's a big story, like 1 hour story. Beautiful fight. And he suffered. Now he's not supposed to suffer. He suffered because of his own karma in that sense that he misused. But as far his glorious position, that Urvashi, Gandharva, Chanara, they are all glorifying, and his position to enjoy as a Nandan Kanan garden, I mean, demigod's position compared to human being, the purport says, very sweet. Like, you know, we are under the spell of these three modes in a big extent. The demigod doesn't suffer like that. I live maximum 100 years. 100 years is nothing to them. 432,000 plus 864,000 plus 1,128,000 plus 1,700,000, you add all this, is only four yuga, four chaturyuga. And you multiply this time 71, that's only one day. It's really nothing if you calculate this. Such a vast calculation of their lifespan. But yet, they are under karma and not under karma. When they are doing the job on behalf of Krishna to rule everything, they are not responsible for the reaction and they will not suffer. Krishna will protect them. But if they misuse their or come with their own intention like Indra did, then he is responsible. He is under the spell of karma and he will suffer for it. And he did. So the question is, does the demigod suffer? Are they under karma or not karma? It depends. If under Krishna's government as a dutiful officer, he does not suffer. Krishna is backing. Every moment if some opposition comes to Indra's life, we see that actually Krishna backing. Every moment Indra never suffers. But all the suffering Indra has is all his own intention. He's just like another living entity but qualified to take that position. Is that answer? Adhidev Prabhu had his next question, so let me. Mahishasur. Oh, that the buffalo is the Mahishasur. That's his name. It's a big demon. Yeah, Prabhupada gave that story in that, you know, small book, that Krishna Consciousness. This Prabhupada book in the bookstore. Yes, Prabhupada.
For the conditioned soul, if he's performing karma, karmic activity, or simply speculating, can he rise to a level of a demigod?
Can you say it again? Can he?
Can he rise?
And rise above.
Can he, somehow or other, can he ever be qualified as a demigod?
As demigod?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you can become Brahma, Prabhupada translated in fourth canto that if you follow 100 life varnashram dharma perfectly, then you are eligible to become Brahma. Or you will become Brahma. Not only eligible, you will become Brahma and Krishna will appoint you. All the demigods are appointed. They are not elected or voted or they are all appointed by the governor, Manu, under Krishna's guidance. Krishna actually personally named those. It was not just randomly.
Another segue question. Does a pure devotee go to the planet, to the demigods and preach there?
Does the pure devotee goes to... Yes, even in first canto 9 chapter, if you look at Srila Prabhupada talks about Sukhdev Goswami. First canto 9 chapter, I think 37 and 34 verse, Srila Prabhupada writes that Sukhdev Goswami, he traveled all over the universe in a different planet, sun planet, and he talked about philosophy. But we are special, you know why? He never spoke Bhagavatam anywhere. Nowhere in the universe Bhagavatam is spoken. Only in this planet. Because this is a only planet you buy ticket to go anywhere. Srila Prabhupada made a very nice Janti Deva Bratana Devan Pitrin Janti Pitri Brata Bhutani Janti Bhutejja. In that verse Prabhupada says that from here everybody goes wherever they want to go. From heaven nobody goes to hell, or from hell nobody goes to heaven. They have to come here. This is a biomedia. This is a karma mayam. Everybody buys their ticket. For the duty purpose, if they are appointed, like Chediraj. He was a court member of Jamaraj, and he would travel to Indraloka to help in their friend. Because we also love Chediraj, he's a very famous personality. He's like Prabhupada, a great personality. He delivered the entire planet in the hell. One of the, when we do the jagna, you hear this, Om Chediraj Namaha, we offer oblation since that time. So something like this. But you had something more.
That actually give different information. There's more information or less information.
Mahabharata, Ramayana, others, but not Bhagavad.
Not Bhagavad.
In 12th canto, when we come in few months or maybe few years, I don't know when we're coming. This 11th canto, by the way, it is just an advertisement. Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj says, after you finishing 10th canto, if you don't study 11th canto, which you're doing, he said, you'll fall down. He repeated in his lectures, very heavy. Oh. So that was very nice. I was inspired even more with the 11th canto. Bhagavatam, you know when it began, you know the whole story how Prabhupada narrated that how Parikshit Maharaj was bewildered by all the opposite party suggesting him what to do. Some tapasvi came. Oh, you are the emperor of the world, sit down here, don't do anything, just do austerity. And then some Tirthajatri came, he said, oh, you are the emperor of the world, get up. Let's go all over the world, all the holy places. Then the Gyani Samudak, they come, they say, oh, Parikshit Maharaj, don't go anywhere, sit down here, we'll help you study Shastra. And then you'll be perfect your life. Then immediately the another group comes, the Dana Pratigraha, they come, they said, no, 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 you should come, take all your wealth and distribute charity to the Brahmanas and the pilgrims and the rishis. Parikshit Maharaj was bewildered, literally bewildered, what to do? But then Srila Prabhupada realized that Sukhdev Goswami appeared, beautiful, naked, handsome, most attractive. Some or other lot of ladies and young children were following him for a long time, Prabhupada said, for no reason, they were just attracted. Was not a naked, because of naked. It was like something attraction was so much. When Parikshit Maharaj came, all these suggester or advisor immediately came to the Parikshit Maharaj. He says, please listen to this personality. Whatever he says, we all agree and all our suggestion, advice will be completely fulfilled by this speaker. So they knew Sukhdev Goswami very well before even Sukhdev Goswami came. Few opposition came, and guess who came the opposition? Not to speak Bhagavatam, demigod was one of them. Indra, they all came. Please, what is the problem? So Parikshit Maharaj, he's going to die in 7 days, no problem. We'll take him to heaven, he can live with us forever. Don't speak Bhagavatam. Why they are opposing? If you really think, why the demigod doesn't want? Because by studying Bhagavatam, serving Bhagavatam, you can get something the demigod cannot get. This is beyond their control. All the devotees are literally has no control by the demigods. We should be liberal and say boldly. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Under guidance of Prabhupada, we should feel that we are free from the influence of demigod. But of course, due to offense and holding the grudge against devotees, that causes problem. This is the main cause. There is no other cause. So many hands. Can I use the
this point about how the karma is there except for pure devotees, and it's completely burned up by the pure devotion. So there's one point that I've heard discussed a lot, and I'd just like to hear what you have to say about it. But Prabhupada makes the point that at the time of diksha, then the karma is committed. But then we see that.
Very loud.
Turn it down. Oh, okay. Then we see that there are many devotees that obviously don't. They're not unplugged. You know, the fan's still plugged in because they get all involved. So it seems to me. I mean, like up at in Nectar of Instruction, I think it's text 5, quotes Jiva Goswami from one of the Sandarbhas, where he describes diksha as a process. They're not a one-shot deal. It's like a process that takes one to the stage of bhava. Things that make a little bit more sense, that unplugging takes place at the time when one initiates the practice of Uttama Bhakti. You know, that's within that process, you know, mm-hmm. So it's the karmas and the fans unplugged then, one can plug it back in, but if he's on the platform of trying his best to practice pure devotional service, then genuinely free. I mean, this, on a practical level, it does seem, you know, that this is the case. You know, like, how many can say at the time of initiation that they're free from lusty desires, you know, that they're, you know what I mean? There's a very high attrition rate in our movement. You know, many devotees have taken initiation, but who stays with it? You know, it's actually quite rare. So, anyway, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on this point.
What I understand Srila Prabhupada's purport, it's very sweet and very convincing. I'm really more fascinated on performing devotional service than anything else in life. It's the most attractive. Every time I read some purport, just recently we were studying about, in reference to your inquisitiveness to know my realization. If you look at 6th canto, 18-19 chapter, Mother Diti, she was a mother of a demon, evil, devil, satanic. You can say all these names because they all come from, she was a mother of Hiranyakashipu Hiranyaksha. And Indra, he's an appointed officer of Lord. He's supposed to be very saintly, protector, supplier of rain, supplier of managing the. And if you look at the incident from a very nice way that Prabhupada wanted us to see, or that's how I saw, Diti was pretending to be a chaste wife, so nicely so to draw the attention of her guru or husband. It happened to be guru. And he's a very pure, advanced soul, Kashyapa Muni, the father of God. But Diti's intention was not pure. Like I look at myself, I didn't have a pure intention when I joined as a young boy, teenager. I just want to be hang around away from my house. And many reasons I came, but it was a, and now I look at back, it was only mercy of Vaishnavas and Prabhupada's follower that they engaged me and they tolerated me. So Diti had a bad intention. She wants to kill Indra. And she wants to take help from Indra's father, who happened to be guru and husband, to kill Indra. But the way she did, going in a pretending, so submissive, so smiling, serving the husband. And Kashyapa Muni felt, oh, you are very chaste and loyal. I'm very happy with your service. Whatever you want, I'll fulfill. The moment he said that, she was very happy. I got it. So then they had a nice conversation. She was showing so much loyalty to her guru, happened to be husband. Then Kashyapa Muni suggested, okay, tell me, what do you want? Give me a son, she said, that will kill Indra. Oh my God, you're asking a father to give a son to kill his son. But we see in this verse, the Gopi Varana Dharma Prabhu there translated, that sadhus are actually merciful to the fallen. But if you look at it, Kashyapa Muni, he's so merciful. She knows, Prabhupada made a very nice point, if somebody has a deep attachment to the material sense enjoyment in this world, we should not condemn that person to enter into bhakti. Intelligence of the pure devotee that curbs to purify the impurity of that sadhaka or that participant. So here Kashyapa Muni says, of course he went little regret. I can't believe she's asking me this, but I already told her I'll fulfill her desire. But inside he felt horrible, outside he did not expose. Because if he exposed to the person who came for ulterior motive, he will turn back and go back. But he accommodated, inside he regretted, he condemned himself. Why I fell for this? Why I said this? But because he already said he would not withdraw back, because he is a sadhu, so he says, alright, since you are very deeply emotionally attached to get this boon, I give you a process. That was Krishna consciousness, worship of Vishnu. Pungshavan Vrata, it's called Pungshavan Vrata, but it's Krishna conscious, means if you look at this 37 article, I don't want to drag about 37 articles, that what she should do and should not do. We made a chart, like a whole 37. And it's nothing but almost like our everyday practice, what we do. And then at the end, of course, Indra on the other side, who knows, even I'm speaking about Indra, he knows from the heaven what I'm talking. He has that access. So Indra, he knew already, like, oh my gosh, she's going to have a child, and she already got pregnant, got the mercy from Kashyapa Muni, and he will kill me. No, I'm going to kill before that child comes out of the body. So there was a little clause, you call, like a little, you know, don't deviate. If you deviate from this 37 rules, regulation, then you may face a child who will, instead of killing Indra, will be favorable to Indra. So she's very careful not to be favorable to Indra, should be killer of Indra. While she was doing, and Indra also took a vow, I want to do some way, service such a way, he's also pretending. He came as a maid servant, so nice, loving. Oh mother, you're going to do, and she had no idea this is Indra. Oh mother, you're doing, can I help you? You need some water? He ran. There's a girl, nobody knows actually this Indra. He's coming with the water, wood, fire, milk, whatever she needs, helping. Just like, you know, somebody comes in the temple, we see, and you know, oh, thank you for coming. Where are you from? Gainesville. All right, you want to clean the floor? Yeah, sure. We do that. And that's exactly Mother Diti did. Engage Indra. And Indra is thinking, yes, I want to be very close to her so I can go inside her embryo and kill the baby. But she has no idea about this, what he had a plan. Well, there was a time when actually she became, for 1 year, austerity, doing this Krishna conscious practice. I'm not promoting 1 year Krishna conscious. This is our life mission. We should do whole life, not 1 year. But in this case, 1 year Krishna conscious practice. After a long time doing, she lost her, you know, glamour and energy. She became very thin. She can't just sleep anytime. She has to meditate on the Lord Vishnu, Lakshmi, Narayan. And at one point, she forgot one day to wash her feet, mouth and hand, and she went to sleep untimely. You follow? Indra said, that's it. Because she deviated from Krishna consciousness, what the deviation for us is offense, criticizing devotees and unnecessary wasting prajalpa. The same thing, same principle there. So she forgot, and then Indra entered in her body, went to the embryo, saw the fetus, and he took his vajra. Because Indra, those demigods are very powerful. Indra has a mystic siddhi, all mystic siddhi, anima, lagima, prapti, prakamma, all these things in him. So Anima, smaller than smallest, he entered into the body and took his club and hit the embryo. When he hit the embryo, it was very mystical. Some golden, you know, form took a seven form. And they all started crying. He says, what's going on? I'm trying to kill the embryo. They have started crying as if like seven babies now. So he said, don't cry. Just shh, don't cry in the embryo, in the talking. So Indra hit all these seven and they became again multiplied seven, became 49. And they all started crying. Indra, you are our elder brother. We are the Maruts. Who are you killing? We are your followers. Then Indra came to his senses. Oh, you are Maruts. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm not going to kill him. So come out. So they all came out. And as Mother Diti just woke up from her nap. She just woke up from her nap and she saw, she gave birth, 49, and also Indra there. So she was a little surprised. But it's so nice story, every story of Bhagavatam, that Mother Aditi says, Indra, how this happened all? I asked for one child, how did I get 49 children? Indra, and he started crying, he's trembling, he's folding hand, Mother, please forgive me. His very humble, submissive mood. He understood his mistake. There's so many things in this pastime, little pastime, so many things took place. That we think of suffering in this pastime, Indra says, and Prabhupada translated, that when we chant, we should not think liberation or we should get out of the suffering. Suffering should be finished already. We have to look, self-correction is required. Self-correction causing the suffering, not actually karma anymore. Self-correction, because Indra saw in the embryo that the soul could not be killed. And I'm trying to kill them and they escape from the death, from suffering. So that means he came on his own idea and Bhagavatam appreciated that liberation or get out of the suffering is a byproduct, secondary result, Prabhupada says, of the devotion. Mother Diti was performing devotional service under Guru Kashyapa Muni, and Indra saw that the suffering and pain was actually dissipated to them. What was the pain problem? Was the self-correction was not there. The own heart was not pure. That was the misery question came. Not the devotional practice was not causing or still holding it, you know, not like this. Was our own correction. Because there's so many grudge we hold against devotees, so many offense, so many ill motive. This is the main cause. And then what happened after Indra apologized and says, Mother, I'm sorry, I acted irreligious. When I heard that you're trying to kill, you're doing Hare Krishna, you practicing Hare Krishna philosophy and you became a Hare Krishna devotee to worship the Lord, to kill me. The intention was bad. It's called tamasic worship, Kapil Dev says, tamasic worship. But still, the point was very sweet that Indra apologized and begged forgiveness. And then Mother Diti also was very straightforward. She said, I'm sorry, Indra. I actually wanted to kill you. That was my only purpose, doing or becoming Vaishnava. She was not interested to become Hare Krishna devotee. She was interested to kill. But Guru Kashyapa was so merciful, he introduced and she practiced. But nonetheless, whatever the ill motive is there, bhakti is so powerful, it purified both. And they become such a nice heart-to-heart feeling. She apologized, he apologized, and still she said, but I wanted one son. How did it become 49? So he narrated, I'm sorry, you know, you deviated, you committed little offense. So I took advantage of that. And I went inside and he gave the whole story how one became seven, became 49. And they are actually demigod. They are my brother. You have no fear from me anymore, ever, for your children. these children will be treated as good as me. So outcome by practicing Krishna consciousness between these two evil minded, Indra was envious, jealous, and Mother Diti was really evil. But nonetheless, outcome, both became purified. And Diti even went back home. So, devotional service, what I see, it's actually going to get purified. But if I feel, in my own experience, that I'm not getting out of anartha, something blocking, if I increase my chanting, as Prabhupada suggested, it works. It definitely works. So that's my... I would not say just we are just still under karma, we should be like suffering and tolerant. No, we should be happy that Prabhupada is actually, bhakti is protecting us. But if there is a still suffering, I should look within me. There is some false pride, false ego is still lingering within me. And I need to correct that. This is how I understand. No. Well, that is another topic, because diksha, many, you can see Prabhupada follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the form of black after he delivered Jagai Mother in Chaitanya Bhagavat. No, I think Bhakti Ratnakar also depicted, Indradumna Maharaj was talking about it. But of course Lord Chaitanya didn't take the scene of Jagai Mother, but to display this he dressed. Of course there is a comment by another acharya. He will turn into Krishna, so he immediately changed it back to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, not Krishna, because he cannot relish as a Krishna prem. So, but nonetheless, when as long the disciple is following strictly the instruction of Guru, then Guru actually burning his all the karma into ashes. Except one, very sweetly explained, Gyani Gyana Joge Kariya Jatane Brahmere Sakshat Kare. By following Krishna consciousness practice, one come to Brahmabhuta platform. This is called Gyani Gyana Joge Kariya Jatane Brahmere Sakshat Kare. Brahma Sakshatkar Aprarabdha Karma Sampurna Gyanete Hare. Hare means all are destroyed to ashes, all the Aprarabdha Karma. Aprarabdha karma is burned to ashes by the knowledge that arises from the bhakti. We are doing bhakti, we are not doing knowledge. This serving the Bhagavatam is bhakti. Prabhupada says under guidance when we study, it is bhakti. But it produces sambandha jnana. It produces detachment from the world. Those are part of bhakti. They are also bhakti, not knowledge. But if I don't want if I want to study under no guidance, then it is jnana. So, in that sense, that though the sambandha jnana destroy all the aprarabdha karma. Kintu prarabdha karma kobu nahi khoy phala bhoga bina kobu. Brahma bhuta jeev phala bhoga lagi janama marana labhu. Chaitanya Chaitamita depicts very nicely that when you come to Brahmabhuta platform, aprarabdha karma is finished. All your karma finished except prarabdha karma, which Krishna will use it. Krishna personally will use it, not as a karma, to, if there is a little trace left in the heart, he will pull it out, everything completely clean. But problem is, I don't let it happen. I love sense enjoyment. I don't want Krishna to completely get rid of it. So, I have a trouble. In my own life I see that. I face some trouble, then I pray, Krishna protects, then I fall for it again, then I pray. Then Prabhupada writes in a Jarabharat pastime, fifth canto, if devotee pray and still continue of sense enjoyment, and Krishna wants him to come out of it, but he doesn't come out, he said, my dear Lord, please help me. I'm making dramatic, but Prabhupada made it dramatic in the purport for me. And then Prabhupada says, if he take advantage of Krishna like this, Krishna will make a big show and strike him. Finish. And he will say, why me? I was so sincerely serving, chanting. Well, Pran Govinda, you're maintaining some sense enjoyment. You better get out of it or Krishna will give a kick. That's how Prabhupada says. That's how I read it. And Krishna does. That time you say, that's it, enough is enough, I do not want any more. Please protect me. Then from then on, no more suffering on that. All the suffering is coming has only one purpose, according to Prabhupada. To turn our face to the lotus feet of Guru Krishna, to remove all the suffering forever. No other purpose. That's the main purpose. That is the mercy. Suffering is actually leads to mercy. So if we know any devotee struggling, we should tell them to go actually inner world. Bindate rida. Bindati atmani jat sukham sa brahma yoga yukta atma. Until you come to feel happiness within, you will get trouble outside. Prabhupada gave that purport very nicely in Bhagavad Gita. Bhajyas parsesu asaktamana. He says, what devotee means must feel happy inside. Outside struggle is not a struggle. They take voluntarily struggle to deliver the conditioned soul. That is difference. But inside they feel happy. Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry, is that okay to you? I'm sorry, again. There's never ends of this discussion.
Yeah, just give us some good lesson here. Give us some good lesson. Coming back to this karma part, Mother Earth is considered karma boom. This is where all karmas are performed.
Yes.
When one goes to hell, he just have to suffer. He cannot do anything about it. When one goes to heaven, then he's enjoying too. He can't do anything there.
Yes. But
until that period is finished, then he falls back to earth and then moves back to the laws of karma.
Yes.
Usually that's how it's stated.
Yes.
And so you know, just like you said rightly, I mean, because of false ego really, you know, one is always under the laws of karma. So as a demigod one would enjoy it. But when he falls on back to earth, his garland fades, he falls on back, then he starts to move back to the laws of karma. Unless he takes to the Krishna consciousness, the transcendental karma.
There's a story, but there's no time. There's a story actually how this happened, but another day. Yes, Mata.
I just have one question going back to karma. I heard just this week someone saying, things are heavy, that things could come heavy to your life because you're taking harder endeavors in Krishna consciousness. Can you clarify that?
I didn't understand. Can you make it
like
in my language?
We know karma is coming, right, to us,
well,
for any reason. Now we're devotees and still we're suffering and we get some heavy issues.
Mm-hmm.
So someone said that's because higher Krishna consciousness endeavors are taken. That's why Maya is getting heavier on you.
Mm.
How
you know, the definition of karma has a many angle. Karmi thinks do something to get something. That's what they think. Karma means do something to get something. But when we talk about Vaishnava, we don't consider karma is like do something to get something. Because we give importance. Consciousness, intention means thinking, willing, feeling behind the action is what differ from karma, jnana and bhakti. It is not the action actually defy that this is Krishna consciousness. It is the intention, thinking, awareness and feeling behind my action what actually proves. So, sasa bhuk karma puman, this verse explains this. So long I am interested to enjoy the result of my activities, it's karma, period. But devotee, when they come to the spiritual path, they accept Guru, they do everything for the pleasure of Guru. Even though it appears like they are doing for their family, they are doing for themselves, but actually it is Guru's family, Prabhupada's family, to maintain Prabhupada's family, to maintain Krishna's family, Krishna's devotee. They will earn money, they will work hard. That has nothing to do with karma. The idea that independently enjoyer of the result is what karma is. So if I maintain that idea that, well, for an example, I like pizza, if I say, I don't say that, but I'm just saying an example. If I like pizza, so I'm going to offer to Krishna pizza. So I want to enjoy the action of my karma, making pizza. So karma is involved, but I'm doing devotion, so that's called karma mixed bhakti. All this gradation, I have a chart, that's how they all manifested. But if I think, Prabhupada said we should offer this, 4 rasgulla in Mangalarti. Only way I found out, because sometimes puja is late. So if I find out, I have to help. So 4 rasgulla. Okay, very good. Krishna love rasgulla early morning. You offer it. So that's not independent desire to enjoy. Then there is no karma. The word karma is not applicable to devotee. Those who are initiated, taken shelter. And there's a vast example. And as the soul progress in Krishna consciousness, self-correction, all the baggage that I'm carrying for so many life, Krishna going to purify. That's not really karma. If you look at it, you know that verse, famous verse, tatte anukampa susamikshamano bhunjane vatmakitam. Prabhupada says we should keep that verse on our throat. Look at what Prabhupada put in the middle of the purport. He said, Krishna create a scenery for a devotee to get rid of, and he created suffering, but that is not karma, Prabhupada says. So I want to follow the way Prabhupada wants us to understand. Is that okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.